Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the Praise Prayer of David as we pick up in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 16. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
So David the king came and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me hitherto?" David was looking now at his position. Here I am, the king. Here I am reigning over these people. Here I have a powerful kingdom. Who am I that I should have all this? In his heart, he was still a shepherd boy. Used to follow the sheep across the hillside. Oh, how wonderful it is when God blesses a person and that person remains the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't take on an air of superiority or pomp or whatever because God has blessed him and God has used him. But he remains just a very plain, simple person. Still aware of his roots. Still aware of, hey, I know I'm nothing, Lord. What you've done for me just is overwhelming. And yet, Lord, if this was a small thing in your eyes, oh God, David's saying, this is really very small in comparison with what you say you're going to do. What you've promised for the future. What you've done is just really a small thing in comparison to that which you've said you're going to do. As David realized that God had promised that from his descendants the Messiah would arise, and this was just totally, totally overwhelming. When I think of what God has done, so much. He has sent his only begotten Son to take our sins, to die in our place. He has washed us and cleansed us from our sins. He's lifted us out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He's established our goings. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's delivered us from the bondage of death and given to us eternal life. But that's just a small thing in comparison with what God said he wants to do and plans to do for you. And as God begins to lay out the future plans that he has for his children, the glory that shall be revealed, Paul the apostle, in talking of these things, said, "Oh, the present sufferings that we go through now are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us." And Paul said, these light afflictions that we have are only for a moment, but they are working an eternal weight of glory. And the Bible speaks of God's plans of our being with him in the beauty, the glory of his eternal kingdom, that we might live and reign with him forever and ever. Now, what God has done for me already is just mind-boggling. I can't fully comprehend it. I'm totally overwhelmed that God should love me and should choose me and should call me to be his disciple, to follow him. That God should bless me with his love and with his goodness. But when I think of what God has promised for the future, it's just beyond. You just can't fully fathom or comprehend it all. David said, you've spoken of a long time to come. Of course, the Lord did. He said, he's going to reign forever. That's a long time to come. O Lord, for thy servant's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness, making known to me these great things. Lord, it was for my sake. You knew I was going to be disappointed hearing that I couldn't build. You did it for my sake, didn't you, Lord? Oh, that's so neat. He even saw, you know, the grace of God and the goodness of God in the refusal of God allowing him to build the temple and knowing that he would be so disappointed. Lord, for your servant's sake, you said this. You told me these glorious things for my sake. And for according to your own heart, God loves me, and he's done all of these great things because of his love, his great heart. In making known all of these great things, oh Lord, there's no one like you. There's no God beside thee. Tell that, would you, to all of these little gods or would-be gods that are going around today. I cannot quite fathom the tremendous ego that a person must have to think that he is God, or to think that he could be God. I mean, that has to be stretching an awful long way. There's no God beside thee, and according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what nation in all the earth is like your people, Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people and to make thee a name of greatness and awesomeness by driving out the nations from before thy people whom you have redeemed out of Egypt? Of course, coming over to the New Testament, Jesus came to redeem his church. What people are like, you know, the church of Jesus Christ, who had been redeemed by God, redeemed through the blood of Jesus, that we might be his people. He's bought us. He's purchased us that we might be his. For your people Israel, did you make your own people forever? And you, Lord, became their God. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established forever. Just go ahead and do what you said. In other words, you do your work, Lord. And let it even be established that your name may be magnified forever. Remember in one of the Psalms, David said, let all those that love the Lord say continually, the Lord be magnified. Let your name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel, and let the house of David thy servant be established before thee. For thou, O my God, hast told thy servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, you are God, and you've promised this goodness unto your servant. Now, therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of your servant, that it may be before thee forever. For you have blessed, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. So David says, okay, God, just go ahead, do it. You build me a house. I have found one of the difficult things of my Christian experience is to accept the grace of God gracefully. God is so good. He blesses so much. And so I'm always fumbling. I have a hard time receiving a gift. And when God gives to me, I oftentimes have a hard time to just accept it. Say, oh, Lord, that's great. Now, I'm going to show you that I'm deserving of that. I'm going to go out and prove to you, Noah, that you, instead of just receiving and saying, oh, thanks, Lord, that's too much. I'm working on that one. Trying to accept grace gracefully. David did it. He said, okay, God, just go ahead. You build the house and thanks. Now after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines, subdued them, took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines. Gath was the most important and the largest city of the Philistines, right in the middle of the Philistine country. David smote Moab, and the Moabites became David's servants, and they paid tribute. David smote Hadarezer, the king of Zobah, all the way to Hamath as he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates. David took from him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, 20,000 infantrymen. David also hucked all of the chariot horses with the exception of 100. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadarezer, the king of Zobah, David slew of the Syrians 22,000. David put garrisons in Syria Damascus. The Syrians became David's servants, and they also paid tribute. And thus the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. God said, I have subdued your enemies. God is continuing his work with David. David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadarezer, and he brought them to Jerusalem, and likewise from Tibhath and from Chun and the cities of Hadarezer. David brought very much brass, wherewith Solomon made that big brazen swimming pool that the priest used for bathing. And he also made the pillars of the temple. Now, notice what David is doing. God said, you can't build me the house, David. I'm going to build you a house. But God didn't say, you can't gather the materials for the house. And so David is going about to gather all of the gold and all of the brass and all of the silver that's to be used in building the house of the Lord. Can't build the house itself, but hey, I can sure gather together all of the materials for the building of the house. And this is what David started to do at this point. Now, when King Tou, the king of Hamath, heard how David had smitten all of the host of Hadarezer, the king of Zobah, he sent Hadoram, his son, to King David to inquire of David's welfare and to congratulate him, because there was this constant battle between Tou and Hadarezer. And he brought to David all manner of the vessels of gold and silver and brass, which David all tucked away to be used in the building of the temple. Then also King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom, Moab, and the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines and from Amalek. Moreover, Abishai, the son of Zariah slew of the Edomites in the Valley of Salt 18,000, and they put troops in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's servant. Thus the Lord preserved David wherever he went. Twice we're told that. So David reigned over all of Israel, executed judgment and justice among all his people, and Joab, the son of Zariah, was over the host. He was the general of the armies of David. Jehoshaphat was the one who kept the records, and Zadok was one of the priests, and Shavsha was the scribe, the secretary of state. Benaiah was over the bodyguards. Now it came to pass after this that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, died, and his son began to reign in his place. David was a friend of Nahash. Nahash had shown kindness to David. And so David said, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. And so David sent messengers to comfort him concerning the death of his father. It's sort of like today when a chief of state dies, they send the secretary of state or some, you know, the vice president or someone will go to attend the funeral, and they are there to represent our government, to express the sympathy and the condolences of our government for the death of some important personage of another nation. And so David was doing that unto this fellow Hanun, the son of Nahash, who had been a friend to David. So the servants of David came into the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. But the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, do you think that David is honoring your father and has sent these comforters to you? These fellows have come to search out the land, and they are spies. David's just sent them to spy the place out in order that he might attack us. Therefore, Hanun took David's servant and shaved half of their beards off and cut off their garments in the midst, and he sent them away. Then there were certain who told David how the men were served, the indignity that was shown to these servants of David. They came back and told David what they had done to these fellows. Absolutely embarrassing. And so when the children of a man saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanun and the children of a man sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire mercenaries, chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia and out of Syria Maacah and out of Zobah. They hired 32,000 chariots, the king of Maacah and his people, who came and pitched before Medeba. And the children of Ammon gathered themselves together from their cities, and they came to battle. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array before the gate of the city, and the kings that were come by themselves in the field. So when Joab saw that the battle was set against him before and behind, he chose out all of the choice men of Israel that they might go with him in battle against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he gave to his brother Abishai, and set themselves against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then come over and help me. If the children of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. They found that they came in and they were sort of surrounded. The Syrians on this side, those from Ammon on this side. So they divided their troops. And then he said, and I love this, he said, be of good courage. Let's behave ourselves valiantly for our people, for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. Now you be courageous, you be valiant, and then just commit it to the Lord. Always a good rule to follow is just to do your best and commit the rest. You know, you can't do any more than your best. And a lot of times we are disappointed. Oh, I should have done more. I could have done better, or I should have done better. But if it's your best, don't beat yourself. Commit it. Lord, I did my best. Go into the battle with courage. Be valiant. And let the Lord of hosts do what he pleases. Leave it up to God. I do what I can. And this is, you know, we're not to just lie down. We're not to just kick back and say, well, the Lord can do what he wants to do, you know. It's not a passive kind of a thing. We as Christians are not to be pacifists in these things. That is just to passively wait for God to work and say, well, just, you know, God can do what he wants to do, and so let him do it. But God expects us to get in there and do our best. Be courageous, fellows. Be valiant. Then we'll let the rest up to the Lord. But you do your part. You do your part. God does his part. And so here it is. Be of good courage. Get in there and behave yourselves valiantly, and we'll leave it up to the Lord. Let the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people that were with him drew nigh before the Syrians into the battle, and the Syrians fled from before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they likewise fled from before Abishai, his brother, and they entered into their city, and then Joab and the troops returned back to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were put to the worst before Israel, they sent messengers and drew forth the Syrians that were beyond the river. And from Shophak, the captain of the host of Hadarezer went before them. And Shophak, this captain of the host. So they regrouped, called for more troops, and came back again. And so it was told David, and so he gathered all of Israel. It was first just the mighty men. He gathered now the full army, and he passed over Jordan. He came upon them, and he set the battle in array against them. So when David had put the battle in array against the Syrians, they fought with him, but the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men
with their chariots and 40,000 of the infantrymen, and he killed the captain of the host, this fellow Shophak. And when the servants of Hadarezer saw that they were put to the worse before Israel, they made peace with David, became his servants, and neither would the Syrians help the children of Ammon anymore.
Return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue our look at the ventures of David as king over Israel. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord this week reveal unto you the exceeding riches of His love and grace in Christ Jesus. May He help you to receive His grace gracefully. And as you go out and commit yourself and your ways unto the Lord, may He guide you in your activities. And may you be strong. May you be courageous. May you be valiant for Him. And may the Lord work His plan, His purpose in your life. In Jesus' name.
Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. Those marriages still holding together are often plagued by conflict and turmoil, making the home a battleground instead of a refuge. That's why The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family MP3, where Pastor Chuck discusses basic biblical principles to keep a family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in the family can experience real peace, real joy, and an agape love. To order your copy of the Marriage and Family MP3 by Chuck Smith, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.